Mark, thank you very much for taking the time. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem, and thanks for joining us. The Steelers, as I just mentioned, they're 11-0, but they don't feel 11-0. What should be the biggest concern with the way the Steelers have gotten to this record?
Well, I think that, you know, the Steelers are they're a classically tough team under Mike Tomlin, who, you know, last year I thought was coach of the year, getting them to 500 at one point with no quarterback. I think Big Ben is a different type of passer this year. It's been much more short, rapid passes. I love their wide receivers. But when I look at the Steelers on the whole, my biggest issue would be the fact that you play in the same conference with the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, we can go through this 17-week regular season and the playoffs and all this other business. I look at the Kansas City Chiefs as just head and shoulders above everyone else right now. And can a Steelers team keep up with them? They just lost Bud Dupree. That's a huge loss. What I do think the Steelers can do on a weekly basis is make life very difficult for quarterbacks. I mean, T.J. Watt is a defensive type player of the year type operator at the moment. He's been absolutely fantastic. And so if you get into a game where you can really hassle a quarterback and make life difficult, that's your chance. But the Chiefs, you look at the Chiefs, who does that to Patrick Mahomes? Nobody yet. So, I mean, outside of a track meet that they lost to against the Raiders, the Chiefs are the true AFC class, and I don't think anything else comes close.
I agree with that. I think most football fans agree with that as well. I do want to circle back to a point you just made about Bud Dupree, a guy who can get after the passer. They lose him to a torn ACL. How does that alter the look of what Pittsburgh is able to do defensively moving forward?
Well, I think it's huge. I mean, he was second on the team in sacks, but you still have Stephon Tuitt, and you have T.J. Watt, and you know they can find a way to get pass rush from other places. But you were losing one of your big dogs. And I think that, you know, you look at the players after that game, you know, in a game that was a very weird off, obviously a weird affair on a Wednesday, you wanted just to get out of there with a win and no major storylines. And instead, you've lost half your pass rush, essentially. So it's something they can't just mask over. But every team's dealing with this to some degree. And again, going back to Tomlin, whenever you ask him something like this about, you know, how do you get over this kind of loss or this issue, he is very just focused on we move forward. The Steelers have that mentality, and that's what I do like about Pittsburgh and why I always, could envision them in sort of the AFC title game. And then can you get over the hump? Because they're very mentally tough. And so I think that they'll find a way to get over it, but you're taking a huge part of your defense away. And there's just, you know, that's what it is. You've got to move forward with lesser guys.
As they move forward, and we've seen in recent years, just because you get a number one seed or just because you have this great record doesn't mean you're going to the Super Bowl. But this year it feels more important because you get a bye. It's one less game you have to play, and nobody else is going to get that bye if we're to assume we get to the end of the NFL regular season and the playoff format goes ahead as it's currently scheduled. It feels very important for Pittsburgh, not because they'll be playing home games. Not only do they avoid a game, Mark, it also means they get to push that possible meeting with the Kansas City Chiefs down the road. And I wonder if that's almost the best strategy here. Hope someone else knocks off the Chiefs so you never actually have to deal with them for Pittsburgh.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we're in this first year where there's only one bye week for one team. It used to be two. And so, you know, you could pencil in Pittsburgh and Kansas City, but it's critical. And I think with teams a week off to just mentally prepare, to get your bodies ready. I mean, it, usually an extra week can bring two or three guys back off the injury list. My one X factor this year would be bye weeks have been the scariest element COVID-wise for teams. And I think that always concerns coaching staffs because you're going to have players out of their normal system, out of the normal week to some degree. What kind of chaos can that cause? I mean, we've seen it cause such upheaval. So in a weird year, we're like, not only does home field advantage not really mean much because you're playing in front of cardboard cutouts and empty seats, at least the week off to rest and rejuvenate would be huge. And so the prize is so much bigger this year than any year before.
Mark Sessler of NFL.com joins us this morning on the Scott Rintoul Show. We'll get back to that game yesterday in a second and the team on the other side that ended up losing by 5 points. But I want to talk about the Chiefs a little bit more and the overall playoff picture. Which probable playoff team would you give the best chance of beating Kansas City?
Well, so the Raiders have beaten them, and I thought they played them real tight the second time too. And if you got the good version of Derek Carr, there is DNA there to suggest that that would be a team that matches up pretty well with Kansas City. I think the Raiders are not fully there as a Super Bowl team, but I think that they've been built by Mike Mayock and John Gruden to compete with the best team in the AFC that also sits in their own division. So that would be a dark horse type team. If you gave me the best team on their best day, I would take the Tennessee Titans, because you can imagine a scenario where the combination of Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, and if Ryan Tannehill's on, that they could just wear down defenses. And what they did against the Colts last week, you know, it was 14-14. It was suddenly 35-14 at half, and they had totally broken Indianapolis. And Indianapolis is a good defense. So if you can go and pummel a Chiefs defense for a half like that, tire them out and get the game to go in the way you want it to go if you're Tennessee, that would be my other team. I wouldn't say Buffalo Bills, Cleveland Browns, don't trust them enough on that front yet. And, you know, the Ravens might be another team if they had all their pieces, just because these are the organizations that I think, like, you trust in the playoffs. And we discussed the Steelers, but for me, it would be Tennessee. If they got their A-plus effort, they could really put it to any team in the NFL, I think.
I'm really glad that's where you went, because that's where I end up falling back as well, as I try to paint these scenarios in which a team could find a way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. We're heading into Week 13. I should know how I feel about a team. I'm still confused to a certain extent by Tennessee. The ceiling that you just described, it's impressive. It's the floor that concerns me a little bit. Where do the Titans fit into the hierarchy of the AFC?
Well, I think they fit into the top three. I mean, I have to put Pittsburgh there just because they've been unflappable. Kansas City, and then to me it's Tennessee, because with Buffalo, I see a couple things. The defense is not what it was a year ago. It's been hot and cold. Josh Allen, when he's good, he's great. When he's not good, and when he's, you know, creating turnovers, and when the run game isn't working, they're very vulnerable. So I'm looking at if you talk about the floor, the Titans, when they lose games, it's been when you get like Steven Gostkowski missing a weird field goal. They lost to the Colts a couple weeks ago because they had a third string punter in there. And it's a lot of special teams nonsense when they don't play all three phases. And their defense is not a game changing type of defense for the most part. So the floor is you could probably lose to any playoff team. The ceiling is I think they could also beat the Chiefs. So they're a weird team. But I look at Mike Vrabel, and I think he's one of the toughest coaches in the league. And the team is built in his image. And that's the kind of team, you look at last year, I trust in December and into January, if they're healthy, to beat up other types of clubs. And so I guess for me, it's just style. The Chiefs are just sort of perfectly built and, you know, weapons rich. But Tennessee is probably one of the toughest teams I've seen in years. And they look like when they round into shape like this, late in the season, anything could happen.
You mentioned their names a minute ago, Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown. We could call them the Beast Brothers. That's what they look like right now. Is there any other offensive duo in the league that could out-beast that one from the Titans?
I really want to see what happens this week against Cleveland. I'm not saying that Cleveland is the same type of team right there, but if you look at the studies, the metrics of the running back group, it's Derrick Henry, it's Nick Chubb, and it's Kareem Hunt in many, many ways. And Cleveland has built an offense that, you know, their schedule, like Pittsburgh's and also like Baltimore's, because of who they play, you know, the NFC East, has been easier than other teams. But Cleveland has beaten up on bad teams. And the way they do it is, it's, you know, it's not blowouts, but they get into the second half. They use Chubb, they use Hunt, they wear down defenses. And in the fourth quarter, when games have been tight and they had to get that one extra first down and maybe one after that to really, you know, eat out the clock and get, like, absolutely seal the game, Chubb and Hunt have done that week after week. And I think that Nick Chubb has a little bit of Jim Brown in him. He is just an absolutely fascinating runner. So it's not a wide receiver running back combo, because I would look at DK Metcalf and say maybe Chris Carson on his best day, but I don't think that about Chris Carson. But DK Metcalf, A.J. Brown, you know, Derrick Henry, these are some of the most imposing figures in the NFL right now.
Yeah, they are, and that's the duo I was going to ask you about in Seattle. Chris Carson had a phenomenal touchdown run in that game, despite the fact he didn't get as many snaps as many people thought he would as they ease him back into the lineup. DK Metcalf, he has taken this explosive jump in year number two that I'm not sure very many people saw coming. And now he gets into that conversation of where he's going to fit among the top receivers in the NFL for years to come. I do think that's an intriguing duo as well. I wonder if that's the most physical other than the two you mentioned.
I think it might be. And you see the Seahawks moving back to the run a little bit in recent weeks, and this is the time of year to do that to some degree. And Russell Wilson's had his ups and downs, but, you know, watching DK Metcalf in this most recent game, I mean, it's just absolutely overpowering. And when they try to put, you know, if you don't double team him, it looks like I mentioned on our podcast the other day, Thanksgiving wise, it looks like when, you know, we were allowed to gather with families still, and there'd be like that 19-year-old older brother trying to be tackled by a bunch of 10-year-olds. That's what DK Metcalf looks like to me on the field. And, you know, the entire league passed him over almost twice until Seattle grabbed him. So he also, I think, has that edge, that chip on the shoulder. I'm not sure how that stuff really plays in general, but with him, he mentions it so much, and he seems to really want to go on a warpath mission to show everyone in the league, like, you pass me over and you will pay. And he is making teams pay weekly, and he just looks like a different type of human being to me out there.
Mark Sessler does the Around the NFL podcast. You can read him on NFL.com as well. He joins us today on the Scott Rintoul Show. I'll come back to the Browns in a minute because I know you have a vested interest there, and I'm interested to get your perspective on Cleveland this season. But I want to stick in the NFC for a second. We're all talking about New Orleans and how they look like the most complete team. People have question marks about Tampa Bay. Seattle's in the conversation once again. The Rams have this great defense. Are we sleeping on the Packers?
I don't think so, because I think the Packers, like so many of these other teams, you know, the league is, they strive for parity, and they get it. I mean, the Green Bay Packers are 8-3. I think they're well built. My concerns there would be that the pass rush that really elevated their defense last year has not been there this year. I mean, they went out and they got flattened by the Buccaneers. They lost to the Vikings in a game where I think they were just out-muscled, and they lost a squeaker to the Colts. So they seem vulnerable to me in the sense that, yeah, I think they could go win a couple playoff games, but I'm not sure they're that different than the team that went into San Francisco last year and were embarrassed on defense. I don't see a real change there. And I like Mike Pettine. I think he's a good coach, but he likes, you know, when you play Green Bay, you funnel the run, and you don't need to. They want to shut down the pass with their cornerbacks. And Jaire Alexander, for instance, is one of the best in the league, but you can run on them. You can run on them still. Aaron Rodgers, I think the difference this year is we're getting like an all-pro, potentially all-pro version of Aaron Rodgers, and maybe drafting Jordan Love for all the criticism that received was the secret sauce just to like get Aaron Rodgers into a whole different headspace because he's been outstanding. I trust the offense. I don't know if I trust the defense to carry them.
I think what you just said at the end is what a lot of people would apply to Seattle as well. Trust the offense. Don't know how much I trust the defense. Green Bay and Seattle have different challenges on defense, but how closely do you think those two teams are built right now, or how high do you think their ceilings are in terms of a similarity score?
I think Seattle's such a – the thing about the Seahawks to me, it's like they could go play any team, and it probably is going to go down to the last 3 or 4 minutes – and we'll see what happens. It's like they're, you know, years ago they were built with the defense as their core. And you know, you go back and watch that Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl and what they did to Peyton Manning. I mean, I was there that week, and Seahawks players were openly saying, "We're going to get to Peyton Manning and we're going to make him pay." And it was like, "You're telling me this on a Wednesday? Like, this is going to make headlines? Like, do you want the Broncos to know that?" They just didn't care. They knew they would do it, and they did it. Now they're completely reliant on Russell Wilson. They're reliant on the offense scoring 30 points a game. I do think it helps to have Carlos Dunlap. That trade has worked out for them. As long as he stays healthy, he helped them beat the Cardinals in a critical game on Thursday night with a sack. They desperately needed someone to step up. Jamal Adams, now healthy, is another place where pass rush can come. So they're getting creative in that way. But I their defense is very hot and cold. And to me, I think that's, you know, you get into January, that's how you get picked off. I really do think the defense makes a difference. But we're in a league right now where there's only two or three great defenses. The vast majority of the NFL are very average on defense. And so you want to be offensively powered, and the Seahawks are that when they're on their game. So I never really count them out until they're essentially done by, you know, they could win three games and get into the Super Bowl. They could lose in a wild card game. Neither result would truly surprise me.
I promised I'd come back to your Cleveland Browns. They're basically the antithesis of last year's team. They're the no-hype team this year that has a great record. Last year, they were the all-hype team that couldn't string together wins. They're not a Super Bowl contender yet. How big of a step would it be for this organization, not only to get into the playoffs, but in terms of answering its own questions about it, what it needs to build on moving forward?
I think it'd be huge because, you know, Cleveland has not won a playoff game since New Year's Day 1995. They have not been in the playoffs since 2002, which was a horrible loss to the Steelers. And everything in between has been an absolute nightmare for that fan base. You know, for the circus that has, you know, unfolded there over the years, it seems to top itself all the time. The coaches that have come and gone, the general managers, the front offices and coaching staffs that could never get along. What you have now, no matter what happens this season, and Kevin Stefanski is a very even-keeled, football-first, business-minded coach, and Andrew Berry in the front office has done a great job, and there seems to be an absence of ego there. So, yeah, they've got a few things to figure out, and they're not one of those elite teams. But if you get into the playoffs, win or lose, it's a huge benchmark for Cleveland, more so than – I mean, it kind of reminds me when Buffalo got back to the playoffs or when Tampa Bay gets back to the playoffs this season. It's just been so long that you slay those ghosts. And Cleveland, I think, has the infrastructure now to look into the future and say, we can continue to build. It's not going to be another January of who are we going to hire, starting all over, recycling the roster, trying to fit players into the wrong schemes. You move forward into a second year with Kevin Stefanski with solidity, which is something that's just been missing. So I think there's hope mixed with a sense of pride that, you know, they have drafted certain players that are performing well. There's a quarterback question there, I think, going into the future. But guys like Denzel Ward, Myles Garrett, these are star players.
Finally, an offseason where Cleveland doesn't have to go look for a coach or a GM or both or constant turnover in those capacities. There are other teams that are already in that mix, and we know who they are, the Detroits and the Jets, Atlanta, Houston, Jacksonville. Run down the list. There may be more. Those teams are going to be looking for a coach and or a GM, Mark. Which situation is going to be the most difficult to sell to the coveted candidates, the likes of an Eric Bieniemy?
I think right now you'd have to look at Houston because the whole scenario going on with, you know, Jack Easterby, who really doesn't have a football background, pulling essentially a power play. And, you know, you also have, if you're a new coach going in there, a new GM, hey, Bill O'Brien sold away almost all your high draft picks this off season, and it's like you have Deshaun Watson. That's a huge selling piece, but what is happening inside that organization? And if anything, what I think a lot of coaches have learned from veteran coaches who would talk to them and say, be really, really clear on the owner, be really clear on the vision, and you will succeed. Don't walk into a hazy situation. The Jets are really set up for the future. I really like their general manager, Joe Douglas. On the inverse, I think the Jets are a good situation. If you're going to get Trevor Lawrence, you've got extra first-round picks for trading Jamal Adams. That's a good situation if you trust ownership. It's been a circus there, so there's a lot to look at. But you would like to have an established quarterback or a pathway to getting one. And the Jets do, the Titans or the Texans do, but I don't trust the Texans' organizational structure right now.
Man, I am fascinated by which is the most attractive opportunity. And you bring up great points, and I ask this to guests. I've been doing it for weeks because I do believe Eric Bieniemy is going to have choices, and trust is at the heart of all of it. You're absolutely right. Mark, great stuff. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy what you do on NFL.com as well. Thank you very much for joining us here this morning. Continued safety and health for you and yours.
All right. Thank you. Enjoyed it. Hope to talk soon.